Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father of love and compassion, we give you thanks for gathering us here today. May we be inspired and led to inspire the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this going to be on the test? That's the question that I asked more than any other question when I was in school, and I asked a lot of questions. But if you were ever in a class with me, you were going to hear it at least once a day, if not more. Is this going to be on the test? I mean, truth be told, I always preferred writing papers to taking tests. Because, for one, I've kind of always wanted to be an author, and I like to write, and I feel like I'm pretty good at it. But more importantly, I get to dictate what's in the paper, right? Nobody else chooses. I do the research. I pick the quotes, and I put it all together. It's all on me. But a test, now that's a different story. Because, you see, that all depended on what the teacher wanted to put on there. So let's say that I'm taking, I don't know, U.S. history class, right? And we're studying the American Revolution. And so I go home and I study every battle of the American Revolution. I know where it was. I know who led the armies in the battle. I know who won. But then I get there for the test, and there's no battles on the test. None at all. It's all about the causes of the revolution and the Declaration of Independence. Nothing about battles. And so I've studied my rear end off and fail anyway. Why? Because I didn't know what was on the test. And that's infuriating. So I would always ask, is this going to be on the test? What I'm really asking is this important? To which the teacher would reply, yeah, it's all important. No. Is this important to me? Because I want to know what I need to know. Now, there were always different kinds of teachers. You know, whether through high school or college, there were some teachers that said, it's all important. If you've got it in your notes or in the book, it's fair game. Great. Thanks for your help. Then there were some that would answer the question, yes, you probably ought to know this for your test. But then there were some that you didn't even need to ask. They would just come out and tell you, hey, everyone, you're going to see this again. You're going to need to know this. Love those teachers. Wouldn't it be great if there was like some sort of announcement in the heavens would open up every time that there was something that we learned in life that was going to be on the test, right? Because we learn tons of lessons throughout life. Some of them we listen to. Some of them we actually follow. Others goes in one ear and out the other. Here's a list, favorite list, that Mama used to teach us. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Nothing good happens after midnight. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. And a plate for everything and everything in its place. See, we've all heard these lessons, right? I mean, we know them. But whether or not we actually follow these lessons, whether or not they impact our lives, well, that's a different story. I mean, some of us pass these tests with flying colors, others not so much. An apple a day keeps a doctor away. It's not so much about apples as taking care of the one body that you've been given, right? I mean, it means that maybe you should watch what you eat. Clearly, I've passed that test. You should exercise. Don't smoke. And the truth is, my father taught me that one the day he quit smoking. Don't do this. Well, I didn't, but I did dip for 20 years. Didn't listen well enough. Probably got a D on that one, you know? And so then you've got the nothing good happens to midnight. Guarantee you that prisons are filled with people, and a lot of those crimes did not happen during the day. They happened at midnight. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Moving on. A place for everything and everything in its place. Yeah, ask my wife how well I remember that lesson. Or just go to my office and look around at the sheer destruction that is my life. Because sometimes we pass and sometimes we fail these tests. Sometimes we listen, and sometimes not so much. But at once, all of these lessons are given to us over and over and over again. Right? And some tests we blow out of the park, and some we just blow. Well, today in our gospel reading, we see the disciples taking a test. Well, really two tests. The first one's more of a quiz. And Jesus says, "Who do the people say that I am?" Well, this was an easy one. All they got to do is repeat what other people have been saying. And he said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So, good. But then comes the final exam, the important question. "But who do you say that I am?" See, this is an important question. It's weighted a little more. I mean, like some of life's questions, because some of the tests that we take in life, well, they're weighted very heavily. You know, they're like 80% of your grade. The other ones are like 10%. In Lexington 1, it's called formatives and summatives, right? But the truth is, he knows, as does every kid in here. So, but sometimes these tests are very important. Who do you say that I am? Peter, now, this is interesting. In this text, it says, "Simon Peter answered." Now, you've heard the phrase Simon Peter, right? Y'all know who Simon Peter is. Do you know in Matthew's gospel, this is the only time he uses Simon Peter together? I think it's like when your parents used to say your full name. Because when they said your full name, you know that you better pay attention. I think Matthew says Simon Peter here because he says, "Okay, everybody, listen up. What you're going to hear next is important. It's going to be on the test." And Simon Peter gives the answer. He goes, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Boom. How he answered that question not only impacted his life, but impacted the entire world. Because Jesus goes on to say, "You're right, Peter. You are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church." You see, the answer to that one question meant everything. It changed his life. It changed the entire world. I think that same question, that same exam, is just as important to you and me. How we answer that question is of vital importance. And it's not just whether or not we know who Jesus is. It's whether or not that Jesus is going to impact who we are and what we do. But the truth is, everyone sees Jesus differently. And how we see Jesus impacts our answer to that question. It's sort of like this. Everybody know who Donald Trump is? Good, you don't live under a rock. But now the very mention of his name gets some people very excited. And some people want to run out that door and never hear it again. He's probably the most divisive person alive today. And because some people adore him. They hang up flags. They have them on shirts. You know, they love Donald Trump. They think he was the best president that we've ever had. And they hope more than anything that he'll be our president again. Then you have some people that said, "Okay, he did an okay job, but he is a great businessman and a heck of an entertainer." And then you have some people who think that he might be the spawn of Satan, that he's the most narcissistic person in the world, and that he's a criminal and he's getting what he deserves. All the same people in the same place right now. Yeah? But I'm not trying to get anybody riled up. But the truth is, he's still Donald Trump. And what we think about him changes what we do, how we vote, what we say, what we think of other people, how we treat other people. Right? Because we treat people differently if we know how they feel, based on our opinion of this person. In a similar way, the way we answer, "Who is Jesus to me?" impacts who we are and what we do and what we say. Right? And so I see it in today's world, there's three ways that people see Jesus. Number one, a story. This guy lived a long time ago, and people remember him. Whether or not it really happened, we're not sure, but he did some great things, and people followed him, and they say he died on a cross, and it's a wonderful story, and he rose from the dead. Then there are people who think that Jesus is special. Special enough that on Christmas and Easter, they'll actually show up to church. And they'll do it some Sundays too, you know. But at the end of the day, they know Jesus was a special person, but really doesn't impact much more than that. You know, they're just like everybody else in the world. They do what they're going to do. They say what they're going to say. They're going to treat people how they're going to treat people. They're going to spend their money how they want to spend their money. But then there's people whom he's the Savior. And that's when the question changes who you are. That's when the answer to that question changes how you live your life, how you spend your money, how you treat other people, how you view the world. So tell me, is Jesus a story? Is he special? Or is he your Savior? Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And here's the thing, my friends. Just as St. Peter's answer impacted the trajectory of his life, it also impacted the world around him. And so does our answer to that question. Because you see, there's many people out there who do think that Jesus is just a story or that he's just special. Because what they see in us is a reflection of how they view him. And so, who do people say that the Son of Man is a very important question. Because the only experience they have with that Son of Man is me and you. So what are they going to say when they see you? Do you mirror the Messiah? Or are you just a window through which people look? Who do you say that Jesus is? What does he mean to you in your life? Will people see the Savior through you? Or will they just hear another story? Amen.